Okay, George, pick up your stuff and get out of here. We don't need you any longer. Your story checks out, your car is out front.
Yeah, well, Inspector, I guess it pays to check. Not that it hasn't been tough enough already, keeping me banged up for...
Enough! If we think you're in an unfit state to drive, we can detain you longer.
Okay, I'm calm. Just need to get some air.
What are your plans now?
Go home and forget. Not much point going on now. Can I see her before I go? Just to say goodbye?
No, George. There's nothing you can do for her now. I'm sorry. Just put it behind you.
Easy to say, Inspector. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. And George, have a safe return journey.
Burst presents an original drama by Simon Rushbrook. Return Journey.
What really happened to me?
You know what happened.
What happened in your journey, George?
What really happened?
What happened to you?
What happened in your journey, George?
You will have to decide that for yourself.
Excuse me.
Morning, Sleepy. I thought you were never going to wake up, and you promised to take over driving about 2 hours back. Sweet dreams.
Where are we?
By the sway of the road and the rough land around us, I'd say we were either crossing some steep hills or on the roller coaster ride you were sick on last year.
Smart ass. I'm sorry, I really meant it when I said we'd share the driving. How much longer until we get there?
You should have gone before we left. Happy memories.
Stop messing around.
I'm sorry. It's not much longer. There's not much point changing places. Get a bit more kip if you want, Mandy. Just don't start that awful snoring you inherited from your dad.
I don't snore. You're the one that growls like a bear. Just for that, I will nod off again. Get me there in one piece, okay? Thanks.
I wish I could fall asleep that quickly.
The darkness starts to glow crimson and then red. Unrecognizable shapes begin to blur together and then pull apart. The shapes begin to form more familiar images, a mixture of memories and fantasy. When I awake, I'll wonder if this dream was color or black and white, but it doesn't really matter. It all seems so real as I experience it, I soon forget that it is not. I see myself talking in a room. A party seems to be going on. Old friends, lovers, and family. My different social lives collide in a mash of memories. They all seem so happy. I'm wearing a white dress. The people look up and recognize me as I walk past them all, smiling broadly and acknowledging them with a nod of my head. No words pass my lips or theirs. There is music in the background, but I'm not sure what it is. It's my wedding day. I always imagined it would be like this, one day. They are all here for me. I can't see where the line of people begins or ends. It seems to go on forever. Oh, I feel so loved, so honored. They smile for my happiness, but I can sense their inner envy and self-hatred, the fear that they may always be alone. Not like me. One of them makes me stop for longer. It's George. Why is he there? Surely he should be beside me, but he just looks at me the same way as everyone else. I panic a little, but keep moving along the line, carried along by my happiness. I can't stop. I try to look back, stare into his eyes. They look so sad. No, not sad. Guilty. He looks so guilty.
Silly girl. I told her she snored. Yet, it's quietly comforting. I've got to stop thinking like this. I must be strong.
The There is somebody by my side. There always was. I turn to look, but all I can see is the shape of a man's body in a suit, like all the others. But where his head should be, there is just a blazing flame, and something at the core that I don't recognize. I feel afraid. It looks like a bright golden ring. I turn away quickly, wanting to return to the ecstatic feeling I had before. The line has vanished, and only one person remains at the end, beckoning me over. I obey. I can't resist. I have a sense of being fearful and inquisitive at the same time. When I reach her, it is my mother, and I feel a huge sense of relief. I hug her, hard, not wanting to let go. I feel comfortable, but then realize she is not returning the embrace. I pull away and look at her. She is unhappy, dressed in black. She refuses to acknowledge me. I look at myself and realize I'm no longer in white, but I'm naked and vulnerable. I try to cover myself with my hands, but lose my inhibitions when I realize no one is looking at me. They look right through me.
I wonder what she's dreaming.
I bet it's a happy dream.
My mother moves away slowly. And I try to follow her, but I am stopped from doing so when I trip and fall over a box that I'm sure was not there before. It's a coffin, the letters on the plaque blurred and out of focus. Two dwarves appear either side of it and lift it into a ready dead grave. Why are there always dwarves? Not very original. They start to shovel earth over it, but they are only covering one end. I try to ask them why, but still I am invisible. I look down and see the uncovered end. There is a grill, and through it I can see the open eyes of the person inside. So bright and so familiar. It's like looking in the mirror. Mother and George are now standing by me, looking down. I can't take my eyes off the box. Her eyes. My eyes. Those eyes. My eyes. They begin to blink. The person in the box is still living. Mum just turns, looking disappointed and ashamed, and George, he still looks so guilty. George! George, help! George!
George, what are you doing?
Shut up! Look behind us, on the side of the road.
What is that?
It looks like an accident. Just wait here.
No, don't go out there on your own. Jesus, we'd better go on and get help.
Don't be stupid. We've got to help now if we can.
Go so close, it might explode.
We've been watching too many movies. Do you want to go for help?
And leave you here on your own? Don't be silly. Let's just go on and report the accident. The bike is a write-off and there's no sign of the rider. Friends always told us we should have gotten mobile. Now I think they were right. If we wait, perhaps someone will come by and...
You've been sleeping. The roads have been as silent as if the fuel strike was still going on. We could be waiting forever. Oh, the smell. Oh my God, look, he's over there.
Don't touch him, George. There's no way
No, I know. I'm just trying to find out who he is. The visor's stuck and I can't see his face. But there's some weird wiring underneath.
Oh, George, stop it! What was that?
What? Look, it's like a Walkman, but with a small microphone just under the helmet. He must have been recording something when he was driving. Now, if I can just...
Leave it for the police, George. There's nothing we can do.
Just a minute.
Come on!
Oh, all right.
I just can't believe this has happened. I've never seen anything like it.
I wonder how it happened. I couldn't work out from what we saw, but it looked like he must have been going really fast. I wonder if...
Stop it! How can you talk like that? He was dead.
Okay. Calm down. I'm sorry. We're not far away now. I'll get us there and we can try and sort this all out. Try to get some sleep. There's a bottle of whiskey under the seat. Take a shot. It may help your nerves.
The last thing I need to do is drink.
There we go. Just calm down and sleep. We'll be there in no time.
I just can't believe it.
That's right. Just you sleep. I've never seen her in such a state. She always seems so strong. Is she overreacting or am I being insensitive? My adrenaline's pumping.
I didn't find that disturbing, but kind of exciting. I'll just give her a little while until... Well, thank goodness. She didn't see me pick up this tape.
Running against the advice of practically everyone, I've decided to come back here in an effort to try and make some sense of my past. This is where I apparently spent my first years on this earth, but I can't really claim to remember anything about it. What my father believed was the best place on earth, at least the way he talked about it, means very little to me, if anything. When my father died earlier this year, it was the final connection I had, and now I'm trying to understand what I've ignored ever since I was young. I tried to explore this place by foot, but I couldn't raise any inspiration. Something about the rush I get on my bike makes me think better. I see things more clearly, and I feel at peace. This tape, I hope, will help put my mind at ease.
Weird.
These roads were, I'm told, given the nickname Devil's Run. Just as the sun sets at night, the red glow on the earth is eerily beautiful. The place is very quiet. But Dad's papers tell of a time when this was a small but thriving community. The voices of those ghosts are invisible behind the roar of my engine, but I know they are there. I wonder what they are trying to tell me. There's not much wildlife around, the dry terrain obviously the cause, but once in a while an enormous bear tree appears to my side and waves in the wind. Each time I see one, I can't tell it from the last. Perhaps it's the same one following me.
What was this guy on? He talks like out of a book. Somehow I understand what he means though, but he had been here before. What was he trying to find? Inner peace? Sounds ridiculous, but then I know why I came here. My God, we were good together for a while. What happened? I just don't care anymore. I want to tell her, but it's so hard. I must do it by the end of this trip.
When I grew up, this place was just a picture in a book. The real thing is not very different. Time has not changed it. Whatever was once here is long gone. A memory in a dead man's brain. He only calls the scribblings of his disorderly mind on mixed up papers and notes. I want to understand, but all I feel is disappointment at what I have found. Secrets go to the grave. I have mine just as my father did. It never bothered me before, but it does now.
Secrets that go to the grave. I'm not sure I can hold mine in for so long. What the hell is that?
Where did he come from?
Gracias. I feel very tired. May I have a leaf, please?
What were you doing in the middle of the road? You might have been killed.
Please, don't be angry. Please, speak slow. Otherwise, I do not understand.
Who is this?
I couldn't help it. If I didn't stop, he would have been killed. And he just invited himself into the car.
Hola, señorita.
I can't believe this.
Thank you for stopping. I have walked a long way. I thought this place was... ¿Cómo se llama? Like a place for dead.
A graveyard.
Sí, gracias.
Well, I guess you're here now, but we can't go out of our way.
No problem. I go where you go.
Where did you come from?
I come from Spain.
I know that. I mean today.
I do not know the name, but it was very nice.
Bueno.
Oh, you can speak Spanish. ¿Comprendes? ¿Me entiendes, Calamar? You understand?
No.
You should learn. It's a beautiful language.
I'm sure it is. Listen, we have to go to the police station, but we can let you out before if you like.
Don't be so rude, George. You never liked it when people spoke a language you didn't understand. You're just paranoid. Just drive on to the police station.
Police station? Why? I have done nothing wrong.
No, there was an accident. We have to report it.
Whiskey. Very nice. The Scottish drink, no? May I have some?
Sure.
And so the day gets weirder and weirder. What a character. This guy is nuts. Walking aimlessly through these hills, how did he expect to survive? No rucksack, nothing, just walking. What would have happened if we hadn't come along? You can only walk so far. They seem to be getting on very well back there. Haven't heard her laughing like that for a while. Perhaps he'll take her off my hands. Perhaps she'll leave me. Then I don't have to worry about leaving her.
George, you used to study Spanish at school, didn't you?
Yes, but it was a long time ago. It's all just a distant memory.
Oh, you're no good.
I spent the night with a Spanish girl not that long ago. I put it down to alcohol at the time, but that was just an excuse. It was a friend's wedding. Mandy hadn't been able to face it. She's just waiting for me to pop the question. I know that. She's going to take it badly. I don't blame her. It's so hard, but I have to do it. I wonder if I can put the tape back on. They probably won't notice. They seem more interested in that bottle.
The road is so quiet. I haven't seen another soul in a long while. If the living ones stayed here, they now just pass through. The place is so dead. I so much want to understand the feelings my father had, but even as I drive, the mystery still seems barred to me. It's so hard trying to make a connection to something long lost, that was so underappreciated when I had it. I sometimes miss the feeling of my wife riding with me. Isn't it strange how it's the little things you miss? The bigger problems go into obscurity. Her arms holding on tight, trusting me to drive her safely. The warm breath on the back of my neck and the occasional whisper or kiss. She wouldn't have liked it here, though. Not enough life. Too much room to breathe. The dead don't need space to breathe. Even before she was officially dead, her veins were full of poison. How can you hate so much the person you love, or love the person you hate? Either way round, it's a mystery to me. No matter how much I drive around, that one's never going to be explained.
What is this, please? A play?
No, it's just a tape I found.
Found? Found where? My God, is this from the accident?
It would have burned if I left it.
You shouldn't have touched it. That's removing evidence.
Not if I'm taking it to the authorities. Anyway, you're talking like it was a police crime scene. There was no one else there. It was a simple accident.
You don't know that.
Now who's being paranoid?
Please, do not be angry. I do not understand. What is wrong?
Oh, go to hell.
Taking the tape is bad enough, but listening to it? Why are you so fascinated by this man?
I was just curious. There's you sleeping in the back, and when you're awake, you're knocking back whiskey by the gallon. I just wanted to pass the time.
You're so morbid. You want to hear a man die on tape.
You should hear this tape. The guy is unbelievable. He recently lost his father, had a wife who died, I think, of drugs. It's not morbid. It's human curiosity.
I didn't know you found my company so dull. How can you say that?
Please stop the car. I want to get out.
Wait.
I mean, I thought if there was a problem, we'd talk about it. We always have before.
Well, perhaps we should.
I want to get out.
Fine. Oh, you clumsy idiot. You've covered me in whiskey. I'm going to smell like a tramp.
To drive like a madman. Loco.
Get out.
Don't shout at him if you're angry with me.
You can get out too if you like.
Okay, I go. Goodbye, Mandy. Thank you for the drink. Adios, George.
Good riddance.
Is there any whiskey left in that bottle?
You want to drink more?
I think I need it.
Fine.
What has got into you? I feel like I don't know you since we came on this trip.
Well, perhaps you've just had your eyes closed for too long. I've felt like this for a while now.
So what's wrong?
I feel that...
What the hell is that?
I'm trying to talk to you, Mandy.
There's a knocking sound coming from behind. Can't you hear it?
It's probably just something falling out of your bag.
There's something in our boot.
I don't believe this. How many times are we going to have to stop and start on this trip? I thought you just wanted to report the accident, or have you forgotten?
George, you're scaring me. The noise is scaring me. The whole trip is scaring me. Just stop that thumping
noise. It's probably the whiskey thumping in your head.
Very funny.
What the...
I remember the first time we met. You were really shy. I thought you were never going to talk to me. I thought then, and I think now, that somehow we were supposed to be. I could never let you go. I thought I was going to lose you, but that's not going to happen. Not now. Not ever.
The noises are so loud, but I can't speak to shut them up. I remember Mandy talking to me, but her voice is absent now. Just a memory. I can't hear her. I am glad she's not here. This silence is almost blissful. I'm not sure I want to wake up. In this inner peace, I am comfortable. Just my dreams to keep me company. I am on the hills that I think I remember from when we were driving. The sun is setting and the red glow around me radiates over my body. I feel the heat enveloping my very soul. It is blissful. Until I can feel it burning, it's tearing at my flesh and I begin to feel scared. It begins to relax a little and I look around me. I am on my back, flames all around me. As I turn on my side to try and push myself up from the floor, another figure is next to me. He's dressed in leathers and has a helmet on his head. He doesn't speak, but immediately I know it's the man from the bike accident. His lack of facial features is haunting, but I am not afraid after the initial shock of finding him there. I push myself up and he mirrors my movements. Without seeing his lips move, he begins to speak.
Do you understand why you are here?
Where is here?
Just here. Names are not important.
What is your name?
I told you. It is unimportant.
What happened to me?
You know what happened.
Why won't you remove your helmet?
You can only see what you know. The rest is only imagination.
What happened to you?
You will have to decide that for yourself.
I didn't hear all the tape.
And you never will. Fill in the gaps. You should have talked to her, George.
I was about to.
It wouldn't have mattered. You owe her.
For what?
How do you think you got here? You would have died.
What do you want from me?
I didn't come here. You brought me here. What do you want?
I don't know.
I think you do.
And as he spoke, he reached up to his helmet and opened the visor. The eyes underneath glowed red. He went to take off the helmet entirely, but instead it revealed nothing but black air and his body crumpled and burnt. I could smell it. Mandy is standing in his place, tears rolling down her face. She reaches out to me, but I turn away.
George! George, help!
I need to get away from her. I won't help her.
How long will he be like this? I need to speak to him.
This was the first time I heard that voice. Soon I would awake and speak.
What happened on your journey, George?
I've already told you, there was an accident. We were coming to report it.
Your girlfriend went to the hospital, not the police station, George. You were unconscious. How do you explain that?
I don't know. I can't.
She's intoxicated, George. You should never have let her drive that car.
She had no choice.
What really happened, George? How did that motorcyclist die?
I don't know. Listen to the tape.
I'm tired of this tape story, George. It's rubbish.
It's not. Listen to it.
Here, why don't you listen to it?
Dígame. Dígame Suplemento, Program 3, is presented by Miguel Peñaranda and Isabel Soto.
Hola.
Hola, Isabel Soto.
Y Miguel Peñaranda con Dígame Suplemento.
That is not our tape.
So what was it doing in your tape machine?
We had a hitchhiker in the car. He spoke Spanish.
Where is he now?
I don't know.
What was his name?
Names are not important.
Names aren't important.
What?
I mean, I don't know.
So the only person who could perhaps back up your story has no name and no history. That's a shame.
He must have switched the tapes.
Why?
I don't know. Perhaps he had something to do with the accident.
I understand why you're doing this, George, but you must realise that it's not going to work.
What's not going to work?
You're covering up for her. You invented a story, but it has more holes in it than a golf course.
Covering up for who?
Okay, if you want me to spell it out for you, I will. You and Mandy are driving away for a weekend. Some kind of argument breaks out. Mandy takes this argument quite badly. She starts a drink to console herself while she's still driving. She isn't paying attention and runs another driver off the road. You both panic and would just have driven on, but in the accident you were not wearing a seatbelt and your head split open. Your blood's all over the upholstery. As she drives you to get help, she makes up the story that you both tell now.
What about the Spaniard?
There was no Spaniard, George.
I heard her speaking to him.
It was the tape, George. Perhaps in your state you got confused.
My God.
We found the accident. Dreadful sight. Hardly anything left. It all went up in flames.
My God.
At the moment, we're holding Mandy on the charge of drink driving, careless driving and manslaughter. You can be charged as an accomplice, lying to the police and wasting our time. Think about it, George. Is she really worth all that to you?
The choice between freedom and being caged up isn't a difficult one. If I protested my innocence, I would have to protest hers too. Would they ever believe the truth? It was our word against theirs. I had to make the decision without her. But in fact, it was easier to make without her there. I allowed her to take the fall. Perhaps she'd persuade them otherwise in court, but I wouldn't have to face her. Life goes on. As I left the police station, the drive home was peaceful and uneventful. I wondered a bit about what really happened back there. What really caused my concussion? Was the Spaniard the cause of the accident? What attacked me from within the boot? An accomplice? Perhaps there were two people in the car. They must have had a car that the Spaniard hid somewhere, and they fell out. One wanted to report it, the other to run away. Maybe one of them stayed behind and got into our car. Or perhaps it really was an accident. A suicide? They are the guilty ones. But who are they? I suppose I will never know. The motorbike rider, does he have a name? Names are not important. The tape's unfinished story will always prey on my imagination, visits from the victim in my dreams. Just as Mandy's will surely haunt her. I do pity her, but I had no choice.
Things didn't look good for me. The detective must have been desperate for a conviction. He never questioned once that I was the one driving the car when the motorcyclist was knocked off the road. George, what a coward. He wouldn't stand up for me in case he was brought down with me. What happened when he got out and opened that boot? I found him, slumped forward and bleeding heavily. I drove him to the hospital, and since then everything has got worse and worse. I wish I'd left him. But that was unthinkable. I love him. Loved him. I hate him. I hate myself. But what choice did I have? George might have died. Instead, I killed myself. And the big question, what really happened? I didn't do it, though everyone else is convinced I did. George, for a while, I thought of pointing the finger at him. Perhaps he did it. I was asleep. I don't know what really happened, but my defense advisor was against me. I had no proof. And he said that I would never convince them. I would just prolong my pain. I just wanted to be over. George, I never want to see him again, but I do. Every time I close my eyes, I won't allow myself to sleep for fear of meeting him again. My dreams get worse and worse. Much less about marriage, more often my own funeral. I am already dead. My murderer came in the form of a friend. A lover. That fateful journey. One from which I shall never return.
That was Return Journey. With Joe Crowley as George, Victoria Morris as Mandy, Matthew Neave as the voice on the tape, Enrico Gonzalez Fernandez as the Spaniard, and Ian Dexter as the detective. The studio assistants were Sandra DeHook and Helen Sau. Written, directed and produced by Simon Rushbrook.